Welcome to the third Zombie Lovers podcast. I'm your host, Ross, also known as Joe Frank, on the Zombie Lovers Facebook group. Today we have Alice B. Sullivan, author of several novels in the zombie lore. So, Alice, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So, how's things in your writing career?
I mean, things are as good as they can be. It's more of a hobby at the moment because I have my full-time job and my part-time jobs. So it's more of a hobby at the moment, but I'm doing my best to make sort of a stamp in the genre as good as
Yeah.
I can.
Okay. Well, my first question, obviously, my first question probably will be to most guests that have on this show, is why horror, and in particular, why the zombie genre? What brought you into that, or what attracted you to that?
Boy, so when I was 10, like I think it was when I was 10 years old, I was watching TV late at night. I wasn't supposed to, but kids. So flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden I see like this like crazy movie, and I had no idea what it was or what was going on, but it ended up being Dawn of the Dead remake, 2004, right?
Yeah.
Ever since then, I have no clue why, but ever since then, zombies. I grew up with Resident Evil. I absolutely love those games. I watched my brother play, my cousin play. So I grew up with those games. So I had an understanding of zombies, but like Dawn of the Dead 2004 just like I don't know, made such a good impression on me. I was terrified in like the best possible way. And
Yeah.
I was just like, that's it. It's my favorite genre. And so I watched the movies, played the games, read the books, and when I got into more writing seriously, I thought, you know what? I love reading zombies. I might as well write about them. And I think what got me truly into it was writing more of the world that came after.
Okay.
And
So you've always been a writer then, and you've always liked to write since you were small, or like short
yeah,
stories and things
essentially,
like that.
like, when you're a kid in like middle school, writing is a good coping mechanism. So you start small somewhere. So I always like to dabble in some sort of writing ever since like we learned about it in English class in school.
Yeah, just let the imagination
Yeah.
run wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've written quite a few books. But there's four under the title Aftermath. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
And the first book being Collapse. Can you tell us a bit more about that particular selection of novels?
So the Aftermath series is my main zombie apocalypse series. I actually came up with that universe, I think like over a decade ago. It was in my mind, and I was always plotting in my head, writing on like little notepads or like a note application on my phone. And I would write like bits and pieces of it. So it started off as the second book in the series, Yesterday's Gone. It started off with that. That was going to be my first book. I r started writing it. I had the characters. I had the characters' backstories. And just over time, I figured I wanted to write the main character, Sadie Gallagher. I wanted to write her backstory. So I wrote her backstory in her point of view. And I was like, huh, I really like this. So I decided to hold off on publishing Yesterday's Gone and publish The Collapse instead, but writing it from Sadie's mom's point of view instead.
Okay, so it's like a prequel then, Collapse more.
Yes,
Yeah,
so
okay.
it's not prequel in the sense that it was released after Yesterday's Gone. It's more of like a, hey, you can read this, but you don't have to read it to read book one. It's that's why I called it book zero,
Okay.
to like as a
Yeah,
play
one.
on patient zero. So
Okay.
you're like, you don't have to read it, but it would give more context to the universe, to the character and her motivation in book one.
Yeah, well, I read there's an 18-year difference in like Collapse is set 18 years before Yesterday's Gone. Is that correct? Is that
So
roughly?
it's more like 10 to 11. So Sadie's
Okay.
7 years old in The Collapse, and it's told from her mom's point of view for through first person plus third person omniscient, which follows the spread of the virus. And then you see Sadie as like a 7-year-old going through this, confused. Her mom's keeping information from her. She doesn't know what's going on, but she has some inkling that something's wrong, but no one's telling her. So after the
Okay.
collapse, there is a jump about a decade, and Sadie's now 18 years old. And she and due to the circumstances of the collapse, it drives her motivation to be who she is in Yesterday's Gone.
Okay, so there's a bit of a kind of family element to the saga then. Is that, would you say that's right?
Yes. So there's nothing more important to Sadie than her family and her community, and she wants to keep them as safe as possible because circumstances that happened 10 years ago, she blames herself. So based on what happened during the outbreak, it fuels her to become who she is. So family is a very strong aspect of the series itself, and it'll play a role throughout the whole series. I have like
Yeah.
four books planned in all at
Okay.
the
It's quite strange because I had the last podcast I did, it was Brandon Storace. He brought
moment.
the new Avalon comics, and his is based around a family aspect as well. So it's just kind of it's funny how it's a big thing that.
I think it brings like a different kind of humanity to the aftermath of
Yeah.
an apocalypse because families are trying to stick together, they're trying to protect the ones they care about, do everything they can. And it kind of just brings in like moral compasses and values and what someone's willing to do to protect the ones they love. It also adds sort of like some stakes because you don't want to see this person lose
Yeah.
someone they care so deeply about. So
Okay.
I love family and familial aspects of the aftermath, yes.
And can I ask you, are you a running zombie person or a slow kind of
Ooh.
cool? Yeah.
Isn't that the question of everybody? I
Okay.
actually don't have a preference, even though
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead introduced me to running zombies straight
Yeah.
out the gate.
Yeah.
The more I watched zombies, I realized I didn't really have a preference. The only thing I kind of care about is if the zombies, whether they walk or run or shamble or whatever, they do have like some significance in the story. So like it worked really well with Dawn of the Dead 2004 because it was so urgent and chaotic. It
Yeah.
brought on that level of fear and intensity. The Walking Dead, they shamble. It makes sense because zombies are more of like a background threat. So
Yeah.
like them running really wouldn't make that much sense for the story that's at hand. So I
Yeah.
actually have no preference.
Yeah,
I love
I think the running
the
zombie thing, for me, the running zombies are just, they're so frightening because
They
I think
are terrifying.
the slow zombies are terrifying as it is, but they'd be easier to kill if you were in a zombie apocalypse. But the running zombie, they're just, I mean, the things I watch is running zombies like 28 Days Later, 20 later. Recently, I watched a zombie TV show. It was written by Charlie Brooker, the guy that does Black Mirror, the guy that wrote the Black Mirror series.
Yes, I know that series. Yes.
Yeah, well, it was
What zombie series is that?
it wasn't a zombie series. So it was a zombie. Was it a zombie film or was it a series? I can't remember. But Charlie Brooker wrote one. This is a number of years ago, and he set it in the Big Brother house. You know the TV show Big Brother?
Are you talking about Dead Set?
Dead Set. That's the one.
Yes. Knew it. I knew
Exactly. Dead
exactly what you're
Set.
talking about. It's good.
Yeah,
It's a good series.
it's fantastic. And I think when it was first brought out, he was asked why. Because I think he got a bit of backlash because why didn't he go for the traditional slow zombie? But the reason he went for the running zombies in that one, which worked very well, is because it was set in the Big Brother house. It became chaotic too quickly, so they couldn't get the housemates out the house fast. If it was zombies, then they'd be able to get them probably to safety, or somebody would be able to get them. But because the running zombies happened, it was just too chaotic too quickly. So you know the housemates are obviously, you've watched it yourself, but the viewers, it became so they were kind of stuck in the house, didn't know what was going on outside, and it just works really well, and it was terrifying as well.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly right. It just like if you pick the right kind of zombies for the instance and the
Yeah.
circumstances, it makes it like that much better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why 28 days and 28 weeks later works so well because like they're filled with rage and aggression and violence. So like them sprinting at you, and you're like, you just like paralyzed like a little child, and you're like, oh my God.
And the slow zombie, I think this with the slow zombie kind of lore, it's almost like a the zombies are kind of end up being in the background, and it focuses more on actually the trust issues between different groups of people. It's like the zombies, because if they're the zombies are slow at first, yeah, it's terrifying for them. But then once they start to get a grip on how to handle whatever's happening around them, they start to, they're killing people over the last tin of beans in a supermarket, that kind of thing. So
Exactly. Like they start, like you stop thinking about them as much because you know how much time you have before that zombie can get to you, basically.
And it's other people become more of a threat rather than the zombies. So it just depends on the kind of I suppose
Exactly. That's why it
storyline
depends on the
narrative.
context of the story. Like I said, that's why it works in The Walking Dead because it's more about the drama of the people. So like you seeing a zombie in the background and like shambling, you're like, ah, oh, it's fine. I have time to like beat the crap out of this dude right here while that guy, like while that zombie is shambling towards me. So like,
So let's talk a bit about some of the other books. There's one called Red Christmas and Unraveled.
yes.
Which are they're standalone books. They've got nothing to do with the.
Yeah, so they're they're standalone. They're completely separate. I wrote them completely for funsies. So like Unraveled is just like a short story. It actually started as a story wrote for a short story contest on like Reddit, the social media app. I wrote it for funsies based on like a prompt during lockdown here in America during COVID. So I wrote that and then I touched it up and I cleaned it up and I got it. Like I got my cover artist to do a cover and I was like, you know what, I might as well just publish this because it's fine. And like you can get it free through like my newsletter, of course. And if but if anybody wants to read it, it's up on Amazon. But Red Christmas is, again, it's centered around family. So I just wanted a Christmas themed zombie story and I figured it would make sense for the character to be isolated and feel alone because all you want to be on Christmas is with people you care about, right? So I figured I would play on that a little bit. So yeah, they're completely separate from the aftermath, and I just wrote those for funsies.
So aftermath is kind of like your main because you're writing another book, is that correct? There's another book to come.
I am because I have so much time on my hands to write so many books. It's completely sarcastic. But yes, I started a new series because I hate myself for some reason.
There's a new series as well. You've got the was it this was it Symbiosis? Is that how you say
Symbiosis, yeah.
it? Symbiosis of the
Yes.
beginning or something like that. And it's then
Yes.
like a brand new series, and
It's
then
a
you've got
brand
another.
new series.
And then, yeah. So yeah. So it's just what's is that going another zombie
Yeah, so I'm
story?
primarily a zombie fiction author. So I'll play on the zombie fiction trope based on like pathogen and stuff and like the type of infected. So like Symbiosis specifically had living infected based on bloodborne parasites. So people were injected with protozoa to hopefully cure leukemia, and it works. It was on like phase four, going through like the experiment and the trials and everything, where like a couple hundred people were injected with it. But unfortunately, during the replication phase of the protozoa, they mutated, which therefore seized control of the victim's central nervous system and created someone who is completely unlike themselves. So they became violent. They became basically, I think like 28 days later type
Read
of
virus.
infection. Yeah. So like it's more so they're being controlled by these protozoa now.
Oh, so, sounds interesting. Sounds I mean, especially with I mean, when you think back to COVID times, the way the world went. I mean, obviously, obviously, I'm not under, as I, it's not a play down on what how serious that was, but I mean, it was like one step away of. Like it felt like at a time it felt like it was one step away. I don't know, if it wasn't zombies, but there was one
I
step away
know,
from an
yeah,
apocalypse,
no.
on an event of a scale where people were frightened, People are, queuing up and to get toilet paper and the last loaf of bread, things like that.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I whenever like I don't know when a catastrophe happens, we're like, we need toilet paper. That's exactly all we need is toilet paper and then bread. Like, okay, that's
As long as
fine.
we've got those two things, everyone's
Yes, just only those two things. And it's just like, okay, well, your monkey brain says you need toilet paper, but you don't actually need that. You can live without toilet paper. Like, it's whatever. I mean, at least we know what we need to stock up on in supermarkets if we ever have another catastrophe. That was outrageous. I can't.
The thing of COVID, do you think that I mean, I actually said this in my last podcast. I mean, there's been a lot of zombie TV shows, films. I know it's always been a very popular genre, but there seems to be so much of it just now. I think, like it's there's lots of like Korean TV shows. There's lots of there's just a lot of zombie things have came out since then. And when you look back at previous zombie, like 28 Days, like we've talked about, that started off like as a virus that affected people. Do you think COVID has pushed that the genre along a little bit? Do you think it's given people ideas and things like that for a post?
Yeah, I 100% believe that because of COVID, the genre got like a little spike in interest. And maybe not zombie fiction, like only, but like post-apocalyptic and things like that. So I think the genre as a whole kind of got pushed a little bit in terms of people's intrigue and curiosity. Which I ended up publishing my first book during not the height of COVID, but like during lockdown type situation, which was completely unintentional. Yeah, it was completely unintentional because like I had it scheduled and then COVID happened. I was just like, oh, it's good timing, I guess. But I definitely think that COVID kind of pushed people into checking the genre out more because they kind of lived it. Yeah, I know it has like separate like there's two different types of people who are like, oh, I was affected by COVID, I don't really want to look out the genre because like I lived it, but then there are people who are like, oh, I lived it, I want to experience it again. So like I feel like it did help the genre a little bit in terms of curiosity and interest, which is cool. I will always take all of the zombie films and movies and you know what I mean?
I love it. I can't get enough of it. I mean, I remember I read like all the Walking Dead graphic novels. I watched the TV series. Okay, that kind of it went downhill a wee bit as far as I'm concerned. The first four seasons were good. But all the Korean, a lot of the Korean stuff that's the Train to Busan. What was the other one? All of Us Are Dead. There's so
There's
much
a lot. There's
a
a
lot,
lot.
and they're doing it very well as
And
well.
they are. Do they know exactly how to do it? And America is eating, like, everybody's eating it up, to be honest. Like, we love it.
The one I wasn't too, I mean, the I watched Army of the Dead not long ago. That was the Jack Snyder. But that to me that was it. I don't know. That was a wee bit kind of it wasn't my kind of zombie. It was more action. And I wasn't too sure about. I mean, I like the idea of some zombies getting some intelligence. But there was these like super zombies in that film. Have you seen it? Have you watched that?
No, yes, of course, yes. I do think it kind of missed the mark in terms of like
Too much going
being
on.
like, yeah, I feel like they added like a lot of elements that they didn't get a chance to expand upon. So like I don't know. I wish there was a little bit more that they didn't have to explain with like another film or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's good like popcorn, a popcorn movie. Like you don't have to like digest it and pay attention as much, but you can like just kind of have a good time and pop open a cold one with your friends and eat some popcorn and just, yeah.
There's definitely something like you get For me, the whole zombie lore is about the breakdown of civilization. That's what it's that's what it is. It's kind of a metaphor for it, and you're kind of watching how people cope. The zombies are scary. It's a mixture of horror and how people would cope, basically, a survival instinct. With that Army of the Dead, as you said, it was like too many ideas coming together, and it just kind of was too mishmashy.
Too much,
I wish they just kind of made it just a normal heist, because all just a normal heist movie where with zombies, that would have been interesting, but then there was just too much stuff
there's
that
too much stuff. Like they tried to do a lot with the zombies as a whole. Like there's the lesser ones, and then there's like the
super
royalty ones, like the king and the queen, where like I
and
there was a lot.
the tiger as well.
There was a lot. I mean, I and like we only got like a brief look into it, you know, and it was just tough because you're like, oh, I want to know more, but you never got to know more.
Yeah, I know. It's quite weird because like a couple of days before I actually watched that film, my dad said to me, because he knew I was doing this podcast, and I've got this group, and he said, "Oh, you know, they should bring out a zombie film where animals become zombies." And I was like, "Dad, that's like," I said, "Well, that doesn't really kind of break that doesn't I don't, I'm not too sure. That's like just having crazy animals running about. It's not that doesn't represent the breakdown of civilization." And then I watched this.
I mean, it would have probably helped break down civilization a little faster. And I mean, I'm terrified. Get like a zombie mouse running around. I don't want that up my goddamn
Everyone's
trousers.
dogs, cats turn into zombies, you know, it's the thing.
I mean, have you read Mira Grant's Newsflash series?
What is that, sorry?
Mira Grant's Newsflash series.
No, tell us about it.
For one, I highly recommend it. So whoever's
Okay.
listening, you got her. I recommend it. There's
Okay.
three main books. There and then there's a series of like companion stories, which I
Okay.
also recommend. They're amazing. So Grant created this series where 20 years after the outbreak, she calls the Rising, civilization has kind of been rebuilt.
Okay.
So it's basically what we have, only there are a lot of precautions. So there's blood tests, there's fences, there's security, there's like voice recognition. There's even like portable blood tests that like you can take out and test if you're infected really quick in the field. And so like the series follows these three bloggers through a presidential election, the first presidential election since the Rising. And there are literal zombie animals. So like they have to be over a certain weight. I think it's 40 pounds they have to be. I might be mistaken, but I think it has to be at least 40 pounds to be a zombie.
Okay.
Anything below it can still carry the virus, but they won't, what she calls it, amplify. The virus won't amplify in the host unless it's over a certain weight. So you have literal zombie kangaroos, you have zombie bears, like you have everything. You have cats. Cats are fine. They carry the virus. And like they have like selective breeding, so you have like these mini bulldogs at one point. So I recommend it, but she does have zombie animals, and it's quite terrifying the way
Okay.
she like explains it in her series.
Okay. Well, that may, okay. Maybe my dad had a point.
It's terrifying. Yeah, she's one of she is my favorite author. She is a great author. Shannon
Okay.
Maguire. Mira Grant is her pseudonym. Her name is Shannon Maguire. She's a wonderful person. Great
Okay.
writer.
I'll definitely check that out. So, what would you say is your favorite zombie film, or if you're into this, what would you have you got one? Have you or
Oh yeah. Come on, who doesn't? Who
Okay.
doesn't? So I am not ashamed to say it. My guilty pleasure is the Resident Evil movies. I know they're not everybody's favorite. That's why it's called a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Because yes, they are not true to the games. They are very campy. They are very actiony, but I eat them up.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just eat them up. Like I'll have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I'll have it for a midnight snack. I have no clue why, but it's probably because I grew up with the games.
Yeah.
But I will always say Resident Evil.
So is it are any of these things like is that I mean obviously as being a writer, inspiration is a big thing, right? Do you take where does your main inspiration come from? Is it Resident Evil or is it
Actually, so like I think I take a little inspiration from every zombie book or movie or TV show I watch. I think I take a little bit of inspiration and a little aspect of everything and kind of pepper it in, like aspects I like, aspects I don't like, I rework it. So, and it also is depends on like the book I'm writing. For example, my Aftermath series, I took inspiration from Grant's New Slush series. I wanted to make my own universe or society a decade into the future, like she did. I don't have the extent that she went. Like she went more sci-fi, higher technology. Mine is more rudimentary, in many places, and higher technology or more advanced in certain places in my book. So I took a lot of inspiration from her. I even did zombie animals, but not not in the sense that all animals can be zombies. So like there's two viruses in my book. There's one that was the initial virus, and then the second virus came from a faulty vaccine. So the faulty vaccine creates living infected, which that virus can affect animals and turn them zombies. The other virus, called the alpha virus, animals can carry it, but they can't be zombies. So I do play with zombie animals, and I took that aspect from, I took inspiration from Grant's novels with that too. She was a very big influence on me and my author career in general. I feel like after reading her book, I was like, I want to write my own.
So how does it work when you're driving along or you're on public transport, I don't know, whatever, do you take ideas come to your head, or what's the where's your thinking place, or do you have a place, or do you just something you're just watching TV that pops into your brain?
Honestly, everywhere is my thinking place. I could be at the supermarket, I could be at work. It's mostly when I'm like busy and I can't write things down is when I get all of my ideas, because why not? But when I'm like sitting down ready to write, I'm like, well, my brain just farted and I can't remember a damn thing. But honestly, everywhere is my thinking cap. So I'll be at work and I'll be like, I wonder what I would do if a zombie apocalypse happened right now. And I'll like plan out like my escape route and like my weapons and like who I would sacrifice.
Everyone.
Everyone except for the animal. I work at
As
a
long as
vet
you're
clinic.
faster, as long as somebody's slower than you, then you're fine if they're running
Exactly.
zombies.
Yes, exactly. You don't have to be fast. You just have to be faster than the other people. Like, if there's one person that's slower than you, you're fine.
So what's next for you then? What's your the plan wise? What's the next thing that you're? Is it just?
Well, the plan, well, plan wise is to write more books I don't have time for, naturally. So with Symbiosis coming out on April 22nd, it's on pre-order right now. That's the first in a planned three book series. So I'm going to be plotting out book two throughout the next year. I am trying to write book two of Aftermath. And then come this fall, I will be launching a new book under a new series as well. Yes.
So a lot on then. A lot to go.
Too much. Too much, but I'll figure it out. I try. I'll figure it out.
Listen, Alice, I'm getting notifications saying that we're running out of time now. Unfortunately, I
Yes.
know it goes so quickly.
I know it does. It does.
I could probably talk all day about or all evening here
I
about
could literally bullshit
zombies.
all day about zombies. I'm not gonna lie. I'm going to a zombie convention in June to sell my books, and I cannot wait to,
Well, that sounds great.
yes, just to talk with other zombie nerds. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great.
Well, thank you very much for being for your time. Thank you very much for being on my podcast. It was a pleasure to meet you.
It was a
And
pleasure being here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
no problem at all. And what I'll do, I'll obviously send you a, I'll send you a copy of this before it gets posted. If you,
Yeah.
you know, so you can see it, and if there's anything you don't want, you can it could be edited out and things, whatever.
Like chop it. Get rid of it all. Like throw it in the garbage. It's fine.
Okay, right, Alice. Okay,
All
okay.
right. Have a
Right,
good
bye
one.
bye. All right, cheerio. Cheers, bye. Bye.